There, I got her. Got it on. I'll put her here. Yeah. Yep. Praise the Lord. I want to thank you for letting me share the word of the Lord with you this morning. Amen. We started coming 4 months ago. Well, we generally sit in the back. I retired in 2002, and we came down here where there's no snow. Haven't had to shovel any snow in the 15 years we've been here now. So that's wonderful. One of my winters, I pastored up in northern Indiana. And the one February, we had 78 inches of snow. Oh, I was out every day with my little snow blower cleaning up the sidewalk. And I'd go down, clear the bank, and clear off the sidewalk. We had two widow ladies down there, and I'd clear off their walks. And I had one down west of us. I'd go down. She was all alone, too. She drove one of those Ford Aerostars, one of them looks like a big van. But she'd get that thing stuck pretty easy. So I always tried to go down and keep her going. But it's been wonderful to be in Texas. We're not from Texas, but we got here as soon as we could. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, I want to read from Mark in chapter 6. Mark 6, and begin reading at verse 53. That's all the way down the end of that chapter. We're going to be in the book of Mark, so you can keep your Bibles open if you want to. And let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret, and they drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him, and ran through that whole region round about, and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And now as we share these next few moments together, may you be our teacher. May you be our leader. May you help us to see and to understand truth. Jesus is the truth. And when we receive him, we're set free. Now we want for your people today to be free. And so I pray, God, that you'll help me only to say the things that you want me to say. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, the reason we came was 4 months ago, my daughters went up to the cabin. And so we've been driving to the Woodlands for 14 years or better. And by the time I got to the Woodlands and back home again, I needed a nice two-hour nap. So the girls, they went up to the cabin. And my son-in-law owns a cabin up, what's that little town? Alto, up by Alto. Some of you probably know where that is. And they went up there when So Mom and I, we decided to stop in and just to visit. We just come to visit. But then that preacher stood up. Man, you need to be thankful. I hope you are thankful that you've got a preacher who preaches the Word. Woo! That's what's good. That's what satisfies. And I only came to visit. But I got just a little taste of that again. Our old pastor left. He retired. And they brought in a young whippersnapper, and he don't preach like the old guy. He doesn't preach. But when we stopped in to visit with you Baptists, this boy preaches. So I tell you, I paid my tithe 4 months in a row here. Amen. And you know why? Because you got a pastor who preaches the Word. Amen. And that's what we need. We need the infallible, inerrant Word of God. And that's what will satisfy our souls. Amen. And it just helps us. I don't know how it does that, but it has a cleansing power, doesn't it? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, the question, as I read this scripture, notice it says, as many as touched Him were made whole. Now, that says to me, well, why doesn't everyone touch Him? What causes people not to touch Him? You know, Jesus cares about all of our needs. We were singing about, bless the Lord, O my soul. My favorite psalm, Psalm 103. What does He tell us there? He forgives all our sins. He heals all of our diseases. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies our mouth with good things. If you aren't satisfied, that's where to go. You get satisfied. And then the last thing He says there in Psalm 103, He delivers us from the pit. Did you know that we were all headed for hell? Jesus took hell for you and for me. We don't have to go to hell. We don't have to go to judgment. Praise the Lord. Why? Because of Jesus. And what does He come? The Bible says He comes with armloads of salvation. Woo! I like that, don't you? Praise God. Not just a little bit, but armloads. Praise God. Well, as I look in my Bible, and that's what I want to do with you now, I want us to notice three things that I think hinders people, according to the Word, hinders them from touching Jesus. The first one is this. It's found in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, beginning to read at verse 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched His garment. For she said, if I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole. Ooh, isn't that good? And straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, and he said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said, "Thou seest this multitude, they're thronging you. And how come you're saying, 'Who touched me?'" Praise the Lord. Now I want you to notice how she came. She didn't run out in front of the whole crowd. They were in a procession. They were going to Jairus' house. Jesus was going to raise a little girl, 12 years old, who had died. Now here was a little woman, 12 years, suffering. Did you notice she went to the doctors? What happens when you go to the doctors? They get all your money. Amen. You get a little Medicare, notice, man, they're even tapping into that. Haven't got a raise in 3 years. They tell me nothing's gone up, but Mama says it's different at the grocery store. Mm-hmm. How did she come? She came from behind in that great crowd. She was embarrassed. She had been 12 years with this issue of blood. And then she heard that Jesus was coming by. Praise the Lord. Well, a lot of people fail to touch Jesus because I believe what she's showing us here is that they're embarrassed by their problems. They're embarrassed by them. When I was 5 years old, went to church camp with my two older sisters. I was 5 years old. And while we were at this church camp, there was a bunch of big old boys and they molested me. 5 years old. I didn't tell anybody. I didn't tell my mama. I didn't tell my daddy. I didn't tell anybody. But you know what? You know what I hated? I hated church camp. Don't tell me I've got to go to church camp. I don't want to go to church camp. I hated it. But you know, when you get to be the pastor and you get this great group of teens, you know where they go every summer? They go to camp. And I got to this church. I was 47 years old, 1987. I was 47. Got to Matthews and great church. Great group, young people. They even had their own bus, called it the Grasshopper. They'd load up and go to camp. I had great youth leaders there. And Janet, the head lady, she kind of ran things. She said to me, "Preacher, you're going to camp." I said, "No, this preacher don't go to camp." Janet said, "This preacher's going to camp." Well, she worked me over. I said, "Okay, I'll show up." But I didn't want to go. I'm mad. I threw my clothes in a suitcase. And Nancy said, "What are you so upset about?" I said, "Going to camp. I can't stand to go to camp. I don't want to go to camp." I got out in my car, loaded everything in, my golf clubs too. God, those always go in first. That was back when I was younger. And got everything in, and I sat there in the car. And boy, I sat there and sat there. Oh, what in the world am I going to do? And I said, Lord, I hate going to camp. And the Lord started talking to me. He said, you know why you hate going to camp, don't you? I said, yeah. He said, preacher, you ought to pray about that. You know, really. Preachers know that. That's what we tell our people. You got a problem, you ought to pray about that. So, I went back in the house. I hadn't ever told anybody. And that's when I told my wife what had happened to me when I was a little boy. And how I hated going. And I said, God wants me to be free of that. Amen. And so we prayed. There in the kitchen, we prayed at the table, you know. Asked God to help my heart and heal me of that hurt. And to forgive those guys, whoever they were. I never saw them again. Never went back to church camp either. But we prayed. And I went to camp. Had a wonderful time. The thing the Lord impressed upon me, He said, you're the pastor. You make sure those kids are protected. I said, ain't nobody going to touch my kids. Not one. Boy, we watched over them like an old mother hen. Praise God. But you know, a lot of folk, they're so embarrassed. They think that problem they've got, that hurt, whatever it is. Had a young lady come to me. I was in my office. She was the church janitress. And she got behind the chair. She held onto that chair. And Phyllis, she was a tall lady. And she said, preacher, I got something going on in my life. And she said, I don't understand it. It keeps flashing back and keeps flashing back, and I'm remembering things. And she was in her 40s now. She had grown-up kids. She was remembering being abused when she was 13. And now it was coming back. You know, whatever we go through, and everybody goes through it. There's a lot of hurts, a lot of pain, a lot of suffering. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have what? You're going to have tribulation. You're not going to think about it. You're just going to get it. Don't think because you're a believer, you're going to be exempt. You're not. But I just say to you, don't be like this little lady here. Reach up. Go through the crowd. Touch. Touch Jesus. Whatever your hurt is. Don't be embarrassed by it. Jesus already knows about it. He'll forgive you. He'll heal you. Everyone that touches Him is what? Is healed and made whole. Whole. Oh, I like that, don't you? Praise the Lord. Now, let me share a second one with you. Why some people don't touch it. This is found in Mark chapter 10. And you'll remember this is an old story. We heard a lot about this young fella. He's a tremendous young man. Kind of young man you'd like your daughters to marry. And it says, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running. This is verse 17. There came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus then told him, didn't he? He said, why do you call me good? There is none good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not fraud. Honor your father and your mother. And then notice he answered, all these have I observed from my youth. Isn't a tremendous young man? And then notice, Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Do you know, whoever you are, whatever you've done, wherever you've come from, He loves you. He loves you unconditionally. You can't stop Him from loving you. He loves you. He died for you. And He believes in you. He knows what you can become. You may not think you can become anything, but oh, you put yourself into His hands and watch out. You know, when I was in the sixth grade, they made me go to speech class because I was a stutterer. And I stuttered. They made me go to that class. And finally the teacher said, there's nothing wrong with you. She said, your brain just works too fast. Your tongue can't keep up. That's what she said. And after I got converted and got to the Lord and back in the church, pastor would let me lead prayer meeting once in a while, and he said, hey, Rich, I noticed when you start talking about Jesus, you don't stutter. I said, well, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But some folk fail to touch Him, like this young man. Notice, Jesus loved him, but when Jesus told him, one thing thou lackest. Not 10 things, not 5 things. One thing. What happened to him? He went away sad, didn't he? He went away sad. He wanted to go to heaven. He wanted to inherit eternal life. He was good. I don't know where it went. Oh, my lapel cover. Oh, praise God. Well, hey, but Jesus loved him. But in spite of that love, the boy never touched Jesus. One thing. I was preaching on a Sunday night. Well, I'll be honest with you, I never got to preach that night. I was about 37 years old. I could really go then. I can't last very long anymore, so you guys are safe. But I called on Larry Berryhill to pray, to open the service. We're just opening the service. He sat over here on about the 5th or 6th row back. And I said, Larry, pray for us and pray for this service. So he went to pray. Next thing I looked up, you know, preachers, they peak once in a while. Some of you peak too, don't kid me. Larry's on his knees praying. The next thing I notice, Larry's coming down the side aisle on his knees. Got to the altar, still praying, calling on God. Couldn't get through. There was one thing he wouldn't let go of. We prayed. I prayed over him. Had another pastor in the service, Reverend Clough. He came up, prayed over him. Had some other guys come, lay hands on him, praying over him. Larry's keeping praying. Praying. Finally, 45 minutes. He finally let go of it. 45 minutes. And he struck fire. And you know what Larry wanted? He worked for General Motors, made big bucks, drove new cars, and had a beautiful home. But Larry wanted to be a farmer. That's what he wanted. With all of his heart. That was his love. That's what he wanted. He wanted to be on that tractor out there in that cornfield and bean field and plowing. And he finally let go of it. Praise God. And when he did, he got through. And Jesus touched him. Praise God. It was about 7:10, almost time to go home. Larry said, "Preacher, can we sing number 340, I think it was. It's an old song. It's real, it's real. I know it's real. Praise God, the doubts are settled, and I know it's real." And so we started singing that song. And Larry and his wife, they were the youth counselors. They worked with the kids. Pretty soon, teenagers started coming. We had 15 teenagers at the altar that Sunday night. I had 4. My oldest boy was one of them. He's pastoring up in Huntington, Indiana. Fire fell. Kids got saved. They wanted what Larry got. They wanted some of it. Praise God. Praise God. One thing can keep you away from the blessing. I'm telling you, whatever it is, give it to Jesus. Oh, it's so much better in His hands than on yours. And you'll be so much happier. Larry's retired now. Guess what he's doing? He's farming, right? He's got him a tractor. He's got him 40 acres. Yeah. Yeah, God is good, isn't He? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to share one more with you, and then I'll stop. Go down the end of that chapter, chapter 10. One more reason. Some fail to touch Him because they want Jesus, but they want something more than Jesus. And now this last one is because they allow unworthy people to stand in their way. Reading at verse 46, "And they came to Jericho. And as He went out of Jericho with His disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and to say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And notice this verse now, verse 48. "And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more." A great deal. "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, he calleth for thee." And notice what he did. He cast away his garments, rose, and he came to Jesus. Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you, son?" And the blind man said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said, "Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight, and he followed Jesus in the way. Now, when this young man started crying out to Jesus, there was a group of folk in the church that day that said, "You're making too much noise. You're getting too excited. You're acting like a fanatic." You know what a fanatic is, don't you? A fanatic is someone who loves Jesus just a little bit more than you do. Yeah. They said, "You got to quiet down. Would you believe that I had people tell me, 'Preacher, you get too excited. You act like a Pentecostal.'" I said, "Well, bless the Lord. Amen. I'm not a Pentecostal, but I would if he let me do it. Wouldn't you like to speak in languages you never learned?" That's what it says in Acts chapter 2. I just read it yesterday. What a chapter. And today I read old Peter. He's going to the prayer meeting. And what do? They take a man by the hands and lift him up and says, "Walk." And what are they doing? They're walking and leaping and praising God. Amen. I can't believe how quiet the church is. You go to the ball game. I remember this one time I went to a ball game. This is in Indiana. Indiana loves their basketball. They love high school basketball too. Went to the game. Sat up there toward the top. There was two old women. And man, they were working the refs over. You thought their name was Bobby Knight. Man, they worked them refs over. And the shouting and the carrying on. Oh, and we've got something so much better. So much better. Let's not allow anyone to keep us from praising our God and giving Him the honor and the glory that He deserves. Amen. Well, I'm all done. I'm all wiped out. The old man's going to have to go home and take a nap. It's a little different when you're 76, you know. A little different. But God's Word's the same. And everyone that touches Him is made whole. And God wants His people to be whole. I don't know where you're hurting. God wants to help you. He wants to bless you. And like Pastor said last week when he was preaching on pride, oh, I wanted to jump up and say, hey, I preached that same thing. I was holding a revival in Baltimore, Maryland. It's on a Saturday night. And I said, you know why people don't come to the altar? Because of pride. That's what preacher was telling us last week, wasn't it? Then he had to flee out of here. Poor guy was sick. But that's the truth. You know what I said in that service in Baltimore, Maryland? I said, what you need to do, you step over your pride. There was a big fella sat in the last row. His name was Jim. About 6 foot five. He stepped out into the aisle and he took a big step right over his pride. Come to the altar. The next morning, we was in Sunday school and the Sunday school teacher asked somebody to pray and dismiss the service. Sunday school class. And Big Jim started praying. Pastor started shouting. I said, woo, you got happy over that boy praying. He said, I've been here all this time. He's never prayed. He's never prayed. I've never heard him pray. But when he stepped over his pride, got to Jesus. Amen. That's the key. Hey, you know what you need to do if you got a hurt. The altar's open. Who's going to lead the closing song? Who is? Jeremiah is. Jeremiah's going to lead us in the closing song. You mind the Lord. If you feel your heart pounding, that's the Lord. He's knocking at your heart's door. What do you need to do? Open the door. He'll come right in. Amen. Praise God. Well, is everyone clear? I don't know what that means. I heard that down in Kentucky. I preached in a little Free Will Baptist church one Sunday night at a time of my life. I had the altar line three or four deep. Those are Free Will Baptists, they would move. And they would always end the service. Is everyone clear? Amen. Everyone needs to be clear. Jesus loves you. He doesn't want you to be embarrassed by your problems. He wants you to seek Him with all your heart. Don't let anybody stand in your way. Not your wife, your daughter, your sister, your brother, your neighbor. Don't let anybody keep you away from Jesus. Because when you touch Him, praise God, everything's good. Father, thank You now for letting us be together this morning. Thank You for Your help in preaching. Thank You for the strength You've given. We give You all the praise. Dismiss us now from this place, but not from Your presence. May each of us know that You walk with us. Make us a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.
And remember, folks, we still have church tonight at 6 o'clock. We'll be having a guest speaker with us, Brother Ed Etheridge. Come and hear what he has to say. It's going to be a great time tonight. Choir practice at 4:30 this evening. God bless you. You are dismissed.